All right,
we're live.
What's up, everybody? Hobbypalooza has been a huge success again. I'm excited to be on it for the second time. Two for two on Hobbypalooza. That's pretty cool. It's a good percentage rate. But yeah. Hey guys, we're just a quick little thing about my show and who I am. I'm Tyson Banker. I've been writing for Tiebreaker Culture and doing stuff through Bench Clear Media. Behind the Numbers is the podcast. It's just football focused. Talk a lot about values, talk about rookie cards, product wax, pricing, all that stuff. So be sure to follow me at numbers_behind and just kind of make sure to stay in the loop of the football stuff. And football's around the corner, which is exciting. So Ty, how are you? And how's that festive tree in the background?
I'm doing good. Let me just a little plug for you, man. You have been so consistent and impressive in all the content you're putting out. I don't think people realize the work you put into your podcast.
Yeah,
and you stuck with it every single week, and I see your spreadsheets and your Word documents before you go live, and it's insane the work you put into it. So, man, much props to you and the stuff.
I appreciate it. That's the math teacher brain. I enjoy the analytics, and you know that's why I got with you with this hobby stuff. I think it's a lot of fun. So, I'm reading the live chat, guys. So feel free to just chat in there. We'll be happy to interact with you. We're going to kind of do a couple of things at the show today. I will get to wax pricing in 2020. I've been following that on my show pretty closely, just to see kind of what's happening with wax through the different things, the pandemic and just the hobby value in general. It's good to kind of see the four major products line up together. So we've been really sticking to that on my show on a daily basis. But with Ty, I thought I'm on my third conference. I've already hit the West, and then I hit the South, AFC West and NFC. AFC and NFC West and South already. And we're going to hit the East today. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk through every major position, quarterbacks, running backs, and then the receivers, and just kind of talk about value, who's low, where, you know, maybe there's no value in some places, which we'll talk about. The AFC East is pretty lacking in special players in terms of running backs and receivers, but we'll get to that. But I thought we'd just go right down and talk about some guys who are at the top, and we'll talk about the big one to start, Josh Allen. We'll start in the AFC East quarterback chat. I have to give Ty a huge prop because at the beginning of the last season, he was all in on Josh Allen. He said he was a big buyer, and he was 100% right. Josh Allen played out of his mind. He's consistently number two behind Mahomes in fantasy right now, and he is doing everything you'd expect him to do. And he's in a relatively weak conference. The Dolphins are a little bit tougher if Tua plays well. But what are your thoughts on Josh Allen, Ty? And then I'll get to the numbers here.
Yeah, game time. Looks like Ty's on a college campus. I'm stepping outside of church to take this. There's only one guy I would step outside of church and take a call with, and that's Tyson.
That's all right.
My thought on Josh Allen is that he's going to continue to be the glory of the AFC East, mainly because there's no one else to compete with him.
Right. I mean,
he's guaranteeing himself more or less 8 wins a year. And I mean, my gosh, what is he? Would you say top 3 quarterback in the league?
Yeah.
It's got to be in the top 5.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of value-wise, it's hard with the older guys like Russell Wilson and stuff. But in terms of like a dynasty perspective or a long-term perspective, he's definitely top 2, top 3, right? You know, him and Mahomes. You know, Kyler gets in discussion, but he hasn't done enough yet. So Josh Allen's, I think, firmly in the 2 spot in terms of long-term young guys. I think Lamar Jackson's still in that conversation, but I think Josh Allen kind of surpassed him with his passing ability last year, really taking that next step with his accuracy. And, you know, we don't want to be cliche, but he definitely did things that Mahomes can do. He definitely ran and threw some difficult arm angles and tough throws on the run. And he was really impressive last year. And if that consistency can happen and he can keep coming and delivering in a fantasy aspect, especially, he's going to get a lot of love in the hobby across the board for sure.
I didn't think as a quarterback in Buffalo, he'd be able to get as much hobby love as he does, but like he surprised me with that. I think this year will tell a lot. Like if he comes back this year and puts up really good numbers, he's a guy I wouldn't sell. Let's just say that. Josh Allen, I'm not selling.
He's not selling. He's down $200 in the last 2 months, so it's a terrible time to sell for him right now. Right now, he's looking at so we use PSA 10 Prism. You know, that's the standard for the rookies that we go with, guys. 780 is the last couple of sales for his PSA 10 base Prism. with a pop report of 876 on that. So it's a low, you know, it's a low pop. I mean, 780, I think I'd go buy a couple of those if I was you right now, because they were just $900 2 months ago. So okay, that was that 2 months ago is still a good chunk after the Super Bowl and after he was done playing. So they're just kind of slowly coming down with the season hype and the love he's getting in terms of quarterback play. He will come back up. I strongly believe that. A high sale for him was a 2018 Green Prism PSA 10 sold for $1,900. Pretty solid for a color that's not numbered, but almost $2,000. But he is definitely a guy that I'd be buying right now that's got a long-term feel for sure.
Yeah. So Beans Ball Card blog, you mentioned that the NFL's, they've lost you. I'm curious why the NFL's lost you versus college. Because I hear that a lot. You're a big college guy. So when you hear a statement like that, why is it the political nature of the NFL? Like, why would they lose you? I'd be curious to know.
And I'd definitely be curious as well, because I almost feel like, and not to the NCAA, not to college's problem, but they've had the toughest time with COVID. So college lost me because of the, you know, I'm an Oregon fan, and they made the, you know, they won their conference playing half the games, and they went over Washington when they probably shouldn't have in reality. Like, there's a lot of weird things because of COVID that really kind of killed the college game for me. As a huge fan, I'm a huge college fan. So to me, the NFL is actually the one that's most consistent. So I actually thought NFL was a little bit better of a watch for me this season compared to college.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
No, that's good. I mean, that's a good. I gotta look at these live live chats here, but yeah, there we go. Wyoming Cowboys. That's right. I was actually Collect Your Player has Josh Allen from Kentucky, so they put the wrong college because the DM is named Josh Allen. So I figured those Wyoming people are gonna write them an email pretty soon. So we'll kind of keep going through the quarterbacks in the East, and if he's might make a comment on that about NCAA versus NFL, we'll get back to it. But, you know, next guy is Tua. Tua's Prism PSA 10 right now is $300 to $350. 541's a pop on that. Obviously, it's going to grow because it's still an early product, you know, relatively new product. And one of his high sales was the cool card, the Color Blast PSA 10, sold for $5,600 actually last month. So that's a relatively new sale. What are your thoughts on Tua? I think it's all the cards are set in place. They've improved the roster. They made draft picks to support him with Jalen Waddle and different things to help him succeed. Early reports in camp, still struggling a little bit, it sounds like. But just what are you thinking on Tua? Are you thinking he's a sell now, or does he still have room for growth with the hype of the season coming?
Nah, man, I'm just not a Tua fan. We've talked about this a lot. Like, I just like the upside of like an Alex Smith. He's a game manager at best. You know, and like at the highest upside, it's a guy like Mark Brunell, and obviously they're both left-handed quarterbacks, so there's an easy relation there. But like, I just don't see it. I just don't see a guy like as from a hobby perspective that I feel comfortable putting money into.
Right. Yeah. I think it's hard for me because even if he's a game manager, if he gets wins and that team does play well, I think he will rise, even if it's not based on his play purely. Like if they are, you know, 10-6. Or something like that, and are challenging Josh Allen a little bit more than I think they will, then I think that can raise his value just because the Miami wants to be excited about it. I think Miami and Buffalo both have a pretty good following, so I could see Tua still raising, because 300 is still pretty cheap for PSA 10 Prism, especially with its low pop, and it's not super easy to get yet. So I do think there is some room for growth. I think in general, we'll probably say this the whole time, Ty, but I just don't think it's a good time to sell at all right now. I think you should be waiting at least till August, September, until we start seeing some camp news and stuff getting a little bit hype on people, because right now people are still not quite thinking about football completely, and I think that'll change here the next couple of weeks.
Which is interesting, because you're seeing, and you're going to talk about this at the end of the second half, but like wax prices are going up right now, and you're seeing single prices dip, especially for things like optic, and it's pretty curious if you ask me kind of how that's all working.
It is for sure. And then the main reason that we feel great about Josh Allen, the next two guys, basically I put Zach Wilson for the Jets. Obviously he's their guy. I put Mac Jones for the Patriots, but we know Cam's starting, but I think we kind of all know that bridge kind of was broken last year. So, I thought he had a chance to make something happen. Just, he can't stay healthy. I think his shoulder's just not right. He's just not the same quarterback he was. So that's kind of it for the AFC East. Cause obviously Zach Wilson and Mac Jones don't have anything in terms of value right now, cause they don't have any flagships yet. So, no. Anything else on the AFC East before we move to the NFC East quarterbacks, and we'll go to running backs?
No, I'm really curious to see what happens with Zach Wilson. Obviously, that to me is going to be the more intriguing story of the NFL season. I feel like that's just the place you go and die as a quarterback, at least the last decade. And the guy that makes it work is the guy that's probably going to be worth a whole crap ton of money in the hobby.
That's exactly my point. My that's exactly what I was going to say is that right now, Zach Wilson, for being the second quarterback taken, and we'll get to this in the segment I have coming as well, is that he is kind of the fourth quarterback right now in terms of people wanting and buying. Yeah. But his growth potential is massive. Like, he could go super high if that team gets turned around and he's a part of it in that type of setting in New York. He's gonna command some value. So he definitely is, I think, a guy that if you get the Jets, or you could get Jets cheap on a pick your team type break, I'd take some shots and just see what happens. It's worth it. You definitely have a chance. Because worst case, he's a Mark Sanchez and Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, it took a while for Sam Darnold to fall off in value. Like, we can't forget that. It took a while. It took 2.5, 3 years. So you still have a shot there. Yeah, for sure. So in terms of the NFC East, we got Dak Prescott. We'll lead off with him coming off his injury. His Prism PSA 10, remember those are all silvers, is 750 to 800 with a pop at 964. He had a gold Prism, non-auto, that's an out of 10, for 8,200. Oh, no, student, that was the auto. Auto out of 19, sorry, sold for 8,200. So that's a big card. But Dak for 750 to 800, it's kind of interesting to kind of see with his pop is pretty similar to Josh Allen. And he's, right in that range. They're about pretty close, 750, 780. So is that easy Josh Allen for you at that same price point?
Man, that's tough. So what are they saying about Dak? Is he going to start week one for sure?
It does. Yeah, it does seem that way. All signs point to him being ready to go. You got the age difference. Josh Allen's a little bit younger, but I think it's tough. I think you can't. I almost got to say the Bills are a better team. So I think the Cowboys are in a weaker division. So I think that he definitely has that kind of set, but they've had that weak division for a while and they haven't done much with it. As a Cowboys fan, I've just watched it not do much. So,
yeah. Well, card currency obviously thinks Dak's going to have a big year. I just like Dak, period. I like his attitude. He's just a gamer, and I love gamers, guys that are going to put themselves in positions to be in those moments. Cause those are the moments that affect card values.
Right.
Oh man. I really want to like Dak Prescott. And but if I'm investing the same amount of money, I'm going Josh Allen right now over Dak Prescott.
Right. That's fair. I think the thing I'm excited about with Dak is that his weapons are massively better than Josh Allen. He's got three great receivers. He's got Zeke and Pollard, who are both good. If that O-line can stay healthy, that offense could be special. People are saying it was special before he's hurt. I wouldn't say it was special. They were playing catch-up a lot, and he was just getting a ton of yards. And so that's a little bit of a mirage there. People need to ease a bit on those numbers. But I do think they have an ability to be great for sure.
Rick's comment there is Rick nailed it. I think it's got to go. Dak was piling up numbers to your point at the end of games, and it's kind of deceiving.
Yeah, definitely. Cubed Hot Dog is a great name there, but definitely, I think Josh Allen over Dak. As a Cowboys fan, I'm with that as well. And I would do that in a Dynasty Football League as well. I think just long term, you just have got age on your side, you got injuries on your side. I think definitely Josh Allen for sure.
Yeah.
So they are close. I think they're both low though. I think they're both good prices right now, however. Next guy, Jalen Hurts. He's a big wild card in the NFC East right now. His 2020 Prism PSA 10 is going for 220. It's got 254 on the pop so far. Obviously, that'll grow. And he had a pretty big card sell. Was a 2020 Gold Prism Disco Auto out of 10. It was a PSA 10 for 7,600. So Hurts getting a $7,600 card sold is pretty big for a guy that hasn't done a ton yet. So what are your thoughts on Hurts, Ty?
Buy high, sell low. I love that philosophy.
Yeah.
No, man, I'm like a hold status on Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
I don't believe it yet either on him. Especially at those prices, right? Like those are prices you pay for proven players.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and 220 is a respectable number. I think there's definitely room for growth there. And I'm just not sold on his passing ability. And the Eagles are also making weird moves to me. I'm kind of getting worried about the organization's direction just in general. It just seems they're kind of unsure on a lot of things they're doing and making things a little more complicated than they should be. So I'm a little bit worried about that. I mean, he got, Devonta Smith, which is his buddy. Maybe that chemistry could be something attractive, but we're going to see it. We'll see what happens for sure.
Yeah.
Next guy is also...
Real quick, DJ Rose's point there. That I think NFL, this is an extremely important season for the NFL because you had a lot of the hype building up. It finally became relevant in the hobby. And to DJ Rose's point, full training camp, complete preseason schedule, 17-game reg season. packed stadiums. Like, oh, those are, this could be a really big year for the NFL and the hobby. And I think that's probably why you're starting to see like retail prices and seal wax starting to creep up right now. I think people are getting pretty stoked.
Right. I think so as well. Definitely. Kind of the last guy with a pulse in the division is Daniel Jones. I was talking to the Giants. They had a very, they had an up and down year, almost made the playoffs at the end. But kind of off and on, he was not getting some of the wins, actually. He was off and on being hurt. But his PSA 10 right now is 160-180, so it's pretty low. If you remember our first show before the season, he was creeping up in the 7-800s. So he's definitely come down to rock bottom here. Pop of 1853 on that, it's pretty high compared to the ones we've talked about so far. So he was getting graded a lot. But what are your thoughts on Daniel Jones? Do you think he has a chance to come up at all? He's kind of that Drew Lock situation. Maybe a little bit, but yeah.
Dog, how dare you compare him to Drew Lock? It's not even fair.
I had to make that slight.
I noticed you avoided the AFC West just so I wouldn't talk about Patrick Mahomes and Drew Lock, and I understand that. That's fine. Yeah. Look, my prediction is that by the end of the year, Daniel Jones is no longer the quarterback of the New York Giants.
Yeah, I think that they'll move on. If that happens, I think that'll be even Gettleman's long tenure might be over as well as GM. I just think that it's kind of been dicey there for a little bit about his drafts being good or not. So if they do have to move on from Daniel Jones and get no return on that high draft pick, I do think that they might see a change in the guard in New York as well, even though they're just on their second year with their new coach. I do think, I mean, 160, 180, though, when you see starting quarterbacks in New York for that cheap, just kind of like we talked about Darnold being in Carolina, and he's relatively but close to that price, I mean, it's kind of an easy dart. You know, they'll take a shot, see what happens. Even if Daniel Jones plays good for 2 weeks, you might get 2-3x pretty quickly. I think that Saquon, Rick, I think Saquon's huge. Saquon can really help them if his O-line's there, and Saquon's an easy dump-off target. They drafted a receiver. They have a lot of weapons. They got Galladay. So they have everything in place, kind of similar to Tua. So he's got the opportunity. It's a matter of if he can do it. So I do think there's room for growth for sure. The Washington football team situation's dicey at quarterback. They're going with Fitzmagic. So with Fitzpatrick, there's not much hobby value in terms of like kind of talking about him. So we'll skip through that. But in general, pretty solid division with quarterbacks. You got, you know, AFC East is really young at the quarterback position. NFC East, relatively young with some of the options there. But on the flip side, the AFC East is really weak in receiver and running back. So we probably won't talk much about them at all. I'll just kind of go through the current starters. Anybody in the chat, like somebody's a sleeper, that's cool. But we won't. I didn't get PSA 10 values because there's not many. So that's kind of the bottom line. But we got, Singletary Moss combos in Buffalo. Miles Gaskin had a nice little rebirth last year with Miami. Right now, LaMichael Pirine is the starter for the Jets. I'm not sure if he can be a full workload. They did draft Michael Carter, so it's probably going to be a dual situation there. Damien Harris did look good last year for New England, but still not much hobby love for him in 2019 Prism. Those guys are really all secondary running backs, though. There's not much there Zeke-wise, Saquon-wise, or any of that kind of stuff. So anything for the chat there for the AFC East there, guys?
You and I both know, like, there's some of the worst hobby investments outside of being a fan and buying the guys you like are buying receivers in the NFL.
It's just a losing
proposition. Running backs too, for sure. You can get lucky running backs, and it's very hard to get lucky with receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. And so the NFC East, we got Pats running backs are always stable instead of one man shows. And unfortunately, the Pats, you know, always rotating running backs and getting the best out of every guy doesn't do well for fantasy and doesn't do well for hobby either. So they are efficient, but that's not good for us and what we're looking at for sure. NFC East, we got Zeke. His PSA 10 Prism is down to 200. It was about 350 with preseason last year, so he's about down half. 791's the pop on that. He had a red Prism PSA 10 sell for 750. How do you feel about Zeke at 200 bucks right now? Is that something you like?
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yep. Sign me up. If I'm going to buy a Dallas player, it's Zeke 100%. And for 200 bucks, I think that's a steal.
One angle I wanted to ask you and see if you think it matters. I mean, exposure is exposure, but with the Cowboys being Hard Knocks again, do you think that's going to help his exposure and value?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never actually watched Hard Knocks, so I can't really say like.
Yeah.
What is your? You probably have a better take than me on that.
And then there's Hard Knocks, which is a kind of behind the scenes show. You get a little bit more in, you know, you get more exposure to the players and the things they say and how they talk to each other and just the practices and whatnot. I think they're fun to watch as a former football player. It's just good to see that actual real football setup. I know there's stuff cut out still, but In terms of me as a Cowboys fan, I'm a little bit worried about Zeke in the sense that he needs to answer. So I do like what Ron says here. He says Zeke's looking lean. Sign me up. I think he's going to be better than 200. But don't I think Pollard's pretty good. I do think that people are undervaluing Pollard. I think the backup to Zeke can give him less of a workload. Like, he doesn't have to be a 30 carry guy. And so I think if he could be more efficient and get back to his 10 to 15 touchdowns, I think we're going to be in good shape that price to rise. But I just don't want you to think that Pollard is not going to get touches, because he will. I think that's for sure.
That's a good thing for Zeke though.
Yes.
He can't take 35 carries a game and expect to like finish the season. We need him to take 25 to 30 carries a game and be there when it matters. And to some earlier points, like Cowboys in the playoffs, you get Zeke, Dak in the playoffs, like their values are going to be insane. So.
Right. Yep, definitely. And I think, and like Zeke, there were so many, I would say last thing on Zeke's point, last year when Dak went out, there were so many wasted plays too, where people think that Zeke's worse than he was, but like he knew he was running into the wrong front with the wrong call from the wrong quarterback. You know, like he just knew he was running into a dead end. Like people just kind of viewed that as him not playing well. No, he just knew he was running into a brick wall. He had four linemen out. He had a quarterback not running to the right, you know, spots. Like, it's just give him a little bit of grace from last year is the point. one guy that's really, really curious to me in the NFC East is Miles Sanders. His PSA 10 Prism, not very many of them. They're 63, but selling for about $50. He had a one of one 2009 select. Only pop one, but it was an emerald green PSA 9. Very rare card, sold for $385. But the thing that's interesting about Miles Sanders is last year preseason, he was top 8, 7 fantasy running back. Everybody was all in on Miles Sanders. It's his time. And last year with everything that went on with the quarterback position and the Eagles in general, it's almost like everybody just said, okay, he's not good. And this year he's like barely a top 20 running back in fantasy. So I'm really confused to what maybe the chat thinks about Miles Sanders here, because it feels like he got dropped off. And I'm not really sure if it's all him, because they're going to need him to be good if Hurts is going to succeed. That's going to be for sure. They're going to have to lean on him. So I don't think he's a guy I'm going to heavily invest in, but I do think he can grow.
Yeah. What you said, what is his price for a PSA?
$50. $50 to $65. I mean, it's almost the cost of grading.
I was going to say, guys like that are well worth a shot to grab a few. You know, if you're building out a portfolio of cards, like we've talked about many times, adding $50 Miles Sanders rookies is well worth it.
Yeah. Rage, you're 100% right. I think we've actually talked about it before. Derrick Henry is one of the last breeds of every down backs, you know, that can take the pounding, that's going to be around for a while. That's why we feel pretty good about his hobby value as a running back being pretty stable, because he looks like he has a longevity. You got to, to me, in order to have longevity, just kind of get to that point with running backs are definitely dangerous to invest in. We know that's why everybody gravitates to quarterbacks, but the one thing that with running backs, you want a guy like Derrick Henry that can take the pounding, that has the size, or you want a guy like Kamara that cannot do things besides just run, which Kamara can catch. So if you got a guy that can make reception and still be active long-term, then to me, that's going to matter. So guys like Kamara and Henry, I think are going to be good for a little bit longer term for sure. All right. So then we got Saquon. So Saquon's kind of the next big name. East is pretty stacked with running backs. Even the last guy is no slouch, but Saquon's PSA 10 Prism right now is 180 with a pop of 696. He had a blue scope Prism auto PSA 10 sold for $1,000. Saquon, you buying the comeback or no?
100%. Already started. He's on my watch list. I'm already starting to scope out buys for Saquon. Yep. Yeah, that top five buy right now in NFL, Saquon Barkley.
I think so too. I just think that if he can stay healthy, the electricity, the way he runs, the things he does athletically is just unheard of. Like, it's not normal. So I definitely hope we get a chance to see that for one full season finally. So yep. Perfect. Last running back, Antonio Gibson, 2020 Prism PSA 10, 125. So 125 is pretty good for Gibson. People do like him a little bit. I think it's mostly because there's a pop of 6, so it's a pretty small pop. but one of his bigger cards sold was a Mosaic autograph PSA 10 for 140. Gibson's just a very stout running back. I think I don't see the long-term feel here at all, but I do think I think he's a good fantasy play, but I don't know about a card play.
Yeah. No, thanks.
No, I'll thanks. All right, pass it on. let's see. What do we got here? I hate the Giants, but praying Saquon stay healthy, kid special. Hunter, I agree with you, card currency for sure. Saquon has to do something this season along with Dan Jones. Are people going to lose interest and patience? Absolutely. I think Daniel Jones is last year for it, for sure, TSB. Definitely with you on that as well. Similar to the running backs, guys, the AFC East has little to talk about besides Stephon Diggs when it comes to receivers. Stephon Diggs is kind of the only guy. His 2015 Prizm PSA 10 is 170 with a pop of 14. So it might be a nice little card if you go raw hunting to find some Diggs Prisms and just try to get them graded because there's not very many of them. His 2015 Prizm Blue PSA 10 sold for 320. I think Diggs is going to be a top five receiver again. I think that chemistry with Josh Allen's real. I think he's always wanted to be the receiver one. That's why he kind of wanted out of Minnesota. And I think he's proven he is a receiver one. So I do think I see Diggs doing this for longer than just 1 year. I don't think it's a one-year deal at all. What are your thoughts on Diggs?
I'm indifferent on Diggs, but I mean, if you're going to throw money at a receiver in that division, it's probably Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the, it's hard. Like you're going to see with the PSA wave coming back, you know, in the next few months, you're going to see guys like Tua and Jalen Hurts. You're going to see all those guys add hundreds and thousands of cards to their pop report. But guys like Diggs aren't going to see any cards added, maybe a few. So if you can snag them at good prices, like there's just not many out there. Go do it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Miami's Devontae Parker, but they drafted Jalen Waddle. So maybe Jalen Waddle's a guy you look at. I still don't know if Jalen Waddle's got the receiver one in him. I'm not sure, but his build, but he's got the speed for sure. Then you got Corey Davis and Denzel Mims or the Jets. So I like Mims as a sleeper, but these guys are just, these are raw plays. These aren't anything that you're going to be grading. And then Pats, I kind of put nobody. Somebody had in the chats here, Jacoby Myers is a sleeper. Yeah, he could be a sleeper for sure. I like N'Keal Harry. I still think N'Keal Harry has some talent, but he hasn't put it together. So when it comes down to it, the Pats need somebody to come up and be a receiver there because they don't have anything right now that they can lean on for sure. That's kind of the AFC East.
What's Mark that? Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is here. <Sweet. laughs> He's back out of the booth.
Awesome. The NFC East is much stronger in the receiver department. You got the Cowboys with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Cooper is going for about $65-$70 bucks for his PSA 10 Prizm, which seems pretty low. CeeDee Lamb's going for $140 with a pop of 28. I think CeeDee Lamb is the long-term guy that's going to be in Dallas. I don't think Amari's going to be there. I don't think Amari's going to be there much longer. I think they're going to have to spread out the money. I know they already paid Cooper, but they could still move him. But CeeDee Lamb for $140 seems like a decent buy when you think about last season, Michael Thomas was hitting $350 for his PSA 10. So I think that was a really high number for receiver, and Jefferson's hitting close to there now. So I think Lamb is a little bit undervalued right now. And I think if the Cowboys win, he will come up some more as well.
I'm getting a call to get my kids out of Sunday school. So I'm carry the baton.
Awesome. Thanks
for having me on for a few minutes, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. So we'll keep all chatting. I'll keep on reading you guys live comments. I appreciate it. We do have a giveaway. Ty had a giveaway for us. I believe it's a football, as in a soccer blaster. I believe it's Topps Chrome, but I'll look at the details before I do it. We'll do a quick little trivia at the end, and I'll see if I come up with a good question for you guys. So back to kind of the point there, just kind of talking about the Dallas receivers. I do think Amari Cooper for $60 is pretty cheap. He has done a lot in the NFL. He is a really strong receiver in fantasy. So I do think 60 is a pretty good little buy there if you want to take a little couple shots on Cooper. I still think he's going to be heavily targeted by Dak, even with the targets they have. Eagles main guys, Devonta Smith. We'll talk about a couple of the other guys here in a second from the Eagles. And then Terry McLaurin's kind of been really consistent from last year to the 2 years ago, 19 and 2020. He's at $100 right now with a 147 pop. I think Terry McLaurin is just tough until they really get that quarterback in place. I feel like the quarterback, I wish it was the hobby box. I think it's going to be a little bit lower than that there, baseball collector. Is that what it is, the hobby box? Maybe I have to check. I thought it was a blaster. I'll check. So, but in general, the Terry McLaurin, I think it's going to be hard for his value to go up until they get a quarterback on with Washington that's going to really give him the numbers that he can get. You know, Fitzpatrick seems to have a tough time being a good quarterback for a full season. He has nice runs, but then it seems to kind of fall off a bit. But anyways, that's kind of going to be tough for Terry McLaurin. And then to kind of finish up the receivers, guys, and I'll kind of look at some comments for receivers. We got a couple to sleepers to watch. Kenny Galladay is kind of the main guy to me for the Giants right now. They signed him to be their receiver one. They do have Shepard. They did draft Tony, so they do have some other options. But I think Galladay needs kind of a rebirth. He's still going for $100 for his PSA 10 Prizm rookie with a pop of 47. So still pretty respectable for pretty much sitting out all of last year with injury. So if Galladay can get going again and get back to his form in 2019 and 2018, actually, those 2 years he had was really strong with Matt Stafford. I really think that he's got ability to grow from that $100 as well. So with that, what do we got here for receiver comments? Mike Evans, stat-wise, one of the best to do it. I feel like he's super valued. Yeah, for sure. We, you know, we talked about him in the South episode. You can check that on my podcast. I think that was the last one, actually. We talked about the AFC, NFC South. I think I like Godwin, too. If you look at the numbers, Brady is more efficient throwing to Godwin, actually. So I think that Godwin is still a really good player in that offense as well. Let's see what else we got here. Yeah, it's good. I realize it's Mike now. Thanks for chiming in there, Mike. But I think Michael Gallup is a stud as well. He's just had a tough time being really consistent. They really force-fed him, and he couldn't deliver to what they want in terms of efficiency. But I do think Michael Gallup is a big play receiver. I don't think he's ever going to be the, you know, 9-10 receptions a game guy, but he's definitely going to be the 4 catches for 130 guy, and I think that fits that team well. Otani can deliver a Super Bowl. Yeah, the way Otani's playing, he can pretty much do anything for us for sure. Awesome. All right. So I'm just going to kind of work into a couple of just small sleepers. This actually divisions, the East divisions for AFC and NFC doesn't have too many sleepers in it, in my view. Maybe you have some. If you have some, go ahead and put them on there. I heard Jacoby Myers already from you guys. But Tony Pollard, like I said, I talked about him a little bit. I just think that if Zeke doesn't come back to form, or if Zeke doesn't get going again, Tony Pollard will have a chance. Or if Zeke does get injured, Tony Pollard could have a chance to have a big role in that offense. And he is still relatively young, coming out 2018. So I do think that Tony Pollard's a guy to watch. I just mentioned Sterling Shepard. Shepard's always kind of shown some flashes of being a good receiver. Just a tough time with injuries as well. So if he can stay healthy, he's a guy that, who knows, maybe he's the guy that they will get benefit of Kenny Golladay being there, not having to be the guy. Jalen Reagor, you know, 2020 was his rookie year, but it seems like he's been written off because they drafted Devonta Smith. He was still pretty talented coming out of TCU. I could see him and Devonta working pretty well together. They both have similar skill sets in their route running and just ability to get open. If that can get a little cohesive with Jalen Hurts, we could see some good stats from Jalen Reagor. And one guy that I know it's a tight end, but I just think he's really undervalued in fantasy and just in general is Logan Thomas, the old Virginia Tech quarterback that's converted tight end. He's been getting better every year at the tight end position and been kind of a staple for Washington's passing game the last couple of years. So I really think that Logan Thomas is a guy that just was overlooked in terms of the hobby and fantasy. So if a guy you want to get late in your drafts, definitely target Logan Thomas. Let's see here. Yeah, Slayton's a good one, Rage. I like Slayton. He's just kind of been up and down for sure, battled injuries. D-Jax, yeah, D-Jax. I mean, D-Jax is getting older, though. It just seems like he's, you know, he still has a little bit of speed, but hasn't been able to stay healthy either. But yeah, all in all, it's pretty good, guys. Hunter Henry for the Pats, yeah, Hunter Henry. You know, the Pats are like their tight ends, so that's good. Definitely, I definitely see Hunter Henry doing pretty well. It's a matter of if he has somebody throwing to him consistently right now. Cam does a pretty good job as tight ends through his Greg Olsen days, but definitely hear you there. All right, cool. All right, guys, so kind of the schedule for the rest of the time, Ty was going to jump on just for a little bit. I think what we're going to do right now, so I have it right here in front of me, I'm just going to talk about the 2021 guys are selling. So just little draft picks, rookie sales. I went with the Prism Silvers for draft picks, and I know the draft picks aren't what we really want to use as values, but just kind of show you where the rookies are lining up in terms of compared to each other. I think that could kind of help us go forward as the flagships come. We still don't have a date on Donruss yet. We still don't have a date on some of those flagship rookie products that we're really looking forward to. They are going to be great this year with the quarterback class that we have. So in general, that's what we're kind of looking for. Okay, sorry, just got a little sound here if you can hear that, sorry. So we got, in terms of those values, we got Trevor Lawrence, $89 right now for his silver. Trey Lance, 20. Justin Fields, 31. Zach Wilson, 24. Mac Jones, 10. Jamar Chase, 8. Devonta Smith, 9. Kyle Pitts, 9. Jalen Waddle, 5. Najee Harris, 5. And Etienne, 4. I just kind of went with the main rookie. Hold on just 1 second. I think it's more of my kids might have the steamer. But anyway. Anyway, so that's just kind of the quick run through the 2021 sales. And those are just roughly, guys, just using eBay sold sales. We'll see. I saw somebody there. Would love to hear who you think the best QB is. I mean, the best QB to me is Trevor Lawrence. I just think he's a generational talent. I think that in terms of his value, I don't know if it's worth the, you know, right now he's going for 5 times some of these guys. I don't know if it's that good. So in terms of like a hobby play right now, When I look at this list, I'm actually quite shocked that Trey Lance is the fourth QB in sales right now, and it's within $4 right now. Like, he's 20, Fields is 31, and Zach Wilson's 24. I just think that Trey Lance with Shanahan is a home run. I think that that's a really great situation. That team is built to win now. It's in a tough division, but I just really trust Shanahan, and I think that if Lance is what they think he is, I think he has massive room to grow and could be a really big play in the hobby for sure. So right now, like reading those numbers, I think Trey Lance is the guy I'd be targeting for sure. Zach Wilson's intriguing to me. Justin Fields looks kind of that disrespected field that he wants to go and prove the world wrong, that he was passed over by so many quarterbacks. That entices me as well. So I do like those three as a group. Mac Jones, Mac Jones for me is tough because I just don't think the Patriots are close. I just don't, the roster, I know their defense looks pretty strong, but I just don't see the roster being good enough to support him. And I don't know when he's going to play. So it's just a matter of kind of how that develops in terms of with Mac Jones for me. I do like Jamar Chase, similar to Jefferson. Jefferson's been a guy I've been chasing all last year. I just think those two guys are going to be receiver staples in the years for to come. So that's kind of a quick little take on my rookies here. What other questions we got here? Thanks for hanging out, Ridge. Appreciate it. As far as Lawrence, a potential scary trio with Chenault, Colin Johnson, DJ Chark. Yeah, definitely, Ridge. Like, I think Colin Johnson is overlooked. He is a sneaky guy for sure. He's got size and speed. If you guys, his 2020 Prism rookies are pennies on the dollar, so definitely a nice little sleeper for sure. I like that. I do think that people don't think the Jags roster, people's mind is worse than it is as well. I think that they do have better players than people think. They have two good running backs now. They have a handful of receivers who can get it done. Their defense was pretty injured last year. They've added some pieces. So I'm pretty big on the Jags having a little bit of a bounce back and actually having a chance to contend that conference. I don't think they can be there with the Colts or Titans yet, but I think they'll make it a little more interesting than people think. Yeah, baby Megatron. Yeah, for sure. Good, good. Awesome. Thanks for getting the chats going here, guys. Let's see if I miss anything else here. Good. Yeah, Cincy receivers are scary for sure. When TJ Boyd is your three or T Higgins is your three, that's very similar to Dallas. So they're looking pretty strong. What are you guys' thoughts on the draft picks products? Do you guys have a preference between Prisms or Mosaic or Chronicles or even Score? Any of those that you have? I do have, if we have time, I did buy a Contenders draft picks blaster to open live. If we have time, we'll see. Just for you guys to see those cards if you haven't. It's kind of nice for the Contenders this year. They have one auto per blaster, which is kind of shocking. I've only bought one so far, and it was Ohio State. Unfortunately, it was not Fields. It was the defensive end, the Toglea guy. So it wasn't what I was hoping for. But what do you guys think? What do you guys like in terms of the draft picks? Or are we just kind of avoiding them altogether, which is fair? Okay. All right. I'll keep it on here. Perfect. What's your thoughts on Tebow, the Jags? I don't think he's taking over quarterback. They're trying to give him a tight end, but he couldn't even get the tight end invite to the show, right, with Kittle, that whole issue. But, I mean, Tebow's cool to see doing something, but I don't have too much expectations for him. Good. I always like Prism Draft. Yeah, I like Prism Draft, too. I was interested. I was looking at those prices, Ridge, is that actually the Mosaic Silvers for draft picks was selling a little bit more than the Prism one, which I was a little bit surprised. Just a little bit more, like, you know, 10% more. I don't know if they're just a little bit more rare or what, but the Mosaic Silvers were going for more than the Prism Silvers. Good. Yeah, Prism Draft, yeah. Good, good. All right, cool, guys. All right, so what I'm going to do right now, guys, I'm going to share my screen with you, and I'm just going to throw up the numbers that I've researched. So, again, if you haven't heard my show, I got the podcast through from you can find on Apple, also Spotify, and then BenchClear will have the video version. But I like to update every two shows to kind of have the 2020 main wax prices. The main wax prices I focus on is Mosaic, Prism, Optic, and Select. They're kind of the four main ones. I probably could add Donners next year, which I may. But here, let me go ahead and share this to you guys. And I am going to read them a bit, guys, because I'm going to put this on my podcast as well, since not everybody's going to be able to see it. But I will make it a little bit easier for you guys that are here with me. All right. Okay. So I kind of focus on the retail and a little bit of the hobby. And the up, down 10% that you'll see in this chart is basically just from the last update. So if you, I can probably – I'll go through my after the show, I'll do some tweets out to kind of give you a little perspective of what that's looked like. But I do like to kind of tweet this chart out every now and then to give you guys some update. So these are just ones that I pulled last night. So these are relatively new. I just use 130 point for eBay sold sales. So just kind of going through here, Mosaic's actually kind of keeps dropping. The last two updates, Mosaic's been dropping quite a bit, which is a little bit surprising to me. I thought Mosaic was kind of in a hold spot, but it's been going down a bit. Their solo packs are $30. That's pretty cheap. Hanger boxes for Mosaic's 50. Blaster 85 for Mosaic. Mega boxes 140. No huddle, no recent sales, so still 800. And then Hobby Box has still been at 700. So Hobby's been staying pretty consistent, but the retail is down. We'll go over to Prism, and I'll just kind of read through this, guys, and then I'll come back because I can't see your questions right now, but I'll come back to you. So we got Prism, 40 for their solo packs, they stayed the same. 80 for the hanger boxes, they're up 5%. Blasters for Prism, $100, down 10%. Mega boxes, 195, so they're under 200 now, so down 10%. Their no huddles are up 15%, and then their hobby stayed about the same, about 1,200 for the Prism hobby. Optic actually has kind of been on uptick across the board. Just the hanger boxes down a little bit, but they had some kind of weird sales hanger boxes. So I kind of averaged them. But anyway, solo packs for Optics, that's not really a solo pack. It's more of a value pack like selects, but 35s are up 10%. Hangers up 5%, down 5% for hangers to 65. Blasters 110 up 10%. Mega boxes 240 up 20%. And then the hobby boxes are 950 up 5%. So a little bit of uptick for Optic. I'm not sure if that's just people seeing those kind of PSA 10 values come out a little early and seeing how high they are early and maybe saying, hey, I'm going to buy some of that wax. That stuff's doing well because they haven't settled. I don't think Optics PSA 10 rookies have settled yet. I think they're still, once we get more PSA catching up, I think we'll see Optics settle to where they're going to be for their rookies. Select is kind of on a downward trend. We kind of talked about in the show that the retail aspect of Select, I think, has watered it down a bit. There's a lot of color. There's tons of variation, tons of options. I think it's been a bit overwhelming for people to figure out what's valuable, what isn't. So we kind of suggested stick to numbered, and I've kind of avoided the retail breaks for a while in Select because I just know there's so many Justin Jefferson purple die cuts. There's so many Herbert field level die cuts. Like to me, it's just worried me that they've kind of taken advantage of the non-numbered parallels. But solo packs for Select 23, down 20%, 35, down 10% for the hangers on Select, 50 and 90 for the blasters and megas, they've stayed the same, and their hobbies are down 4% for their hobby boxes. Okay, perfect. All right, let me catch up on you guys' questions here. All right, let's see here. Walgreens, Walgreens and like Barnes and Noble, seen some grocery stores have definitely been getting Bowman mega boxes, which is really weird for sure. Definitely up here, I'm not sure about you guys, but retail has been a bit easier to find. Like I said, I walked in, there's plenty of the Prism draft picks. There's lots of actually Bowman still, just regular 2020 Bowman at up here. I'm in Canada, but the shelves have been cleared for about a year and a half, but things are slowing down a bit. So there has been quite a bit different, just retail just seems more available. But any thoughts on those 2020 products, guys, before we kind of move on? Perfect. All right. So I do have, Cracker Barrel. Yeah, Cracker Barrel as well. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. We're in Canada. I'm in Calgary right now. I'm in Calgary, but I'm from Oregon. I'm from the northeast corner of Oregon is where I was born and raised, if anybody is interested. 2020 Optic Mega. I had it at 2020 Optic Mega 240, and that was up 20%. Yeah, thanks, Jason. I appreciate it. I like to go through and get you guys updated on the different prices of the products. It's fun for me to see. Also fun for me to see what I've opened that I might not have if I'd known that. Yeah, good. 7-Eleven. Yeah, for sure, Zach. No problem. Okay. All right, cool. So the other segment I want to go through with you guys, and I think this is one that Ty and I have actually talked about having a little segment, just a whole show on. So I know it can be daunting, but I'm sure some of you guys maybe poke around Facebook quite a bit for sales. I know some people do the raffles and some people do different breaks and whatnot on Facebook, and just some kind of, I just want to talk about my successes or just things that I've kind of learned to do on Facebook in terms of buying and selling cards. I'm pretty active in fire sales. I'm pretty active in auctions that I see from guys running their own auctions, different things like that. And just kind of some points. And then if you guys want to add some points to the chat, guys, I'll happily share them with the group. But kind of things that I think are important, buy from familiar sellers. You'll see in threads, you'll see in groups, that familiar sellers are, you can search their name. They have all types of sales. There's very common people that are coming in and selling stuff. I think that's a really good backing when you're looking on Facebook to see, is this person sell a lot or are they just a one-timer? One-timers are actually obviously going to make you a little bit nervous. Look for like who joined, like when they joined and like their kind of friend count. That can also be a good thing to kind of look for out for scammers. Obviously it's easy to make a Facebook account. So if it's a relatively new account and five friends, definitely not somebody I'm going to be sending a friends and family payment to. So making sure you kind of look at that. If you're not sure how to do that, you just click on their icon. It'll show their profile. It'll just say when they joined that room and when they joined Facebook and then their friend count. And that kind of gives you a perspective. You know, I've had an account in Facebook since I was 20. So almost 15 years now. And so it's just like, I have obviously a friend count. I've been on for a long time. So it kind of helps people be, helps people for sure. By verified stamp, certified seller on IG. Good. I don't do a ton of Instagram. I don't know why. I just haven't gotten into Instagram as much. I'm mostly Twitter and Facebook, but definitely Rage. Communication, transparency. When you talk to the person about the card, the sale, or the shipping, just are they getting right back to you? Is it slow? Or, you know, are they communicating well with you? Just how do you feel about the conversation? You know, I like to be really friendly when I'm talking to people that buy stuff from me. Just like, hey, how's things going? Appreciate you buying that. I'm going to pack it this way. Just getting very detailed what I'm going to do for them. I think when you get stuff like that, it makes people more comfortable. If you don't get that, obviously that's something to watch out for and just kind of be careful. You have good pictures and descriptions, good and coined pictures is really important. So if you're going to buy something on Facebook or you see something from just a picture, you need proof that that person has that card. One easy way to do that is a lot of people name and date a piece of paper, put it with the card and take a picture. That just kind of proves that they do have it. Some people do it digitally. So obviously that can be done without actually having the card. So just kind of be wary that you want to have some type of comfort that they have the card, because then that's also a reason they can get scammed. Let's see here. You know, and I said auctions and fire sales in Facebook for me, I just tell you guys that I've had a lot of success. I think there's a lot of, if you're patient and if you can really take time and go through those type of sales and click on the comments and look and see what people are missing, or there's a lot of good buys. You know, I picked up a Justin Jefferson red optic for like $22. You know, that's about $15 under comps. Just the things you can just, if you know your prices and you know what you're looking for, you can find some good buys if people are willing to sell their cards. So really do your research. You can definitely make do on that for sure. Let's see, we have a couple of things here. Yeah, and pay goods and services if you're using PayPal whenever you can. That always can back yourself, because then you can file a claim that you didn't get the product. I've seen a lot of scammers and a lot of instances with people that have talked to me that the seller was pushing for friends and family. And if they're pushing friends and family, that's definitely an alarm. If you're uncomfortable with that, just say never mind. Like, it's there, that card can be found somewhere else. Always document the whole transaction. If a new seller on Facebook, yep, definitely. It is tough though document Rage, what are you going to do with Facebook if that's a fake account and a fake person? It does get tough. I know there's some guys that are really good at looking up who people are and what accounts they're using. I know a couple guys that run scammer pages that do that stuff, but it is easier said than done, especially if the name's fake or the account's fake. Those things can make it difficult. Tom, how's the market been in Calgary? Does NFL sell or established market for CFL? So Tom, like for me, it's tough because I'm just never been a CFL guy because I am American. So I know CFL cards up here, but when I do go to the card shop, they are on the shelf. They're not being bought out. I know a lot of the LCSs up here aren't getting NFL right now. Canada's had a tough time getting a good stream of NFL products in terms of hobby stuff. Like I said, Panini Contenders draft picks, I got a blaster today, was on the shelf. Football does pretty well. I would just say that it's like all the Prism stuff was flipped. Those were cleared, all optic stuff. I never saw optic and I never saw mosaic. So those did make it up here, but they were flipped or bought and opened quickly. So in terms of retail, it was really tough to find anything this year for sure. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. You don't mind friends and family if they're verified. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. And friends and family stuff too. You have the PayPal, we'll make sure that's not going to set your PayPal off too much if you have too many transactions with that, but definitely good. Perfect. Any other comments from the group on how you guys feel about buying or selling on Facebook? Oh, and the other thing I was going to say is one thing that I found is when you're joining groups, vouch groups. So vouch groups are good groups to join. They're relatively safe because to get in the group, you have to have a vouch or somebody say, I know this person. I know they're going to be good. Does that mean it's 100% safe? No, but it does mean at least that you have somebody vouching for your your addition. So those types of groups are helpful. Also, if you are doing a sale with somebody you're relatively unfamiliar with, just putting up a vouch post in the room. And a lot of times people will comment and say, hey, yeah, this guy's good to go. He's, you know, I get asked to vouch for people all the time. It's just an easy way to make people feel comfortable that that's person's real and not someone to scam and whatnot. So a couple of things you can do just kind of make yourself feel better on your sale. All right, looks like we have about 8 minutes here. So what I think we'll do here for this last part, guys, is I will just open this blaster with you. Wait, and I got to do the giveaway as well. Here, let's do this. So these contenders blasters here, they have one auto in them. Okay, so what I'm going to do is for the giveaway. So this is the giveaway with Ty. It is what Mike said is the Topps Chrome soccer box. Guess the college of the auto. Guess the college of the auto. So whatever college the guy in the auto is from, you'll get the giveaway. And then when nobody gets it, then we'll say I'll just have to pick the call. So I'll pick the closest. So if you said Ohio State and it was Michigan, we'll do it that way. All right, I got Alabama, Texas. All right, there we go. Let's get some guesses here. We got about 7 minutes, guys. I'll open the score value pack while you guys are doing your guesses for the contenders auto. Ohio State, Boise State. All right, there we go. Tyler Weaver, I feel like I know you. I knew that was going to be you. All right. I'm just opening the score. I do like to look at score this year. Score's pretty cool. A better design in the past. Score's been pretty bland over the past, so I actually thought they did a pretty good job this year. So those are Slayton. I just got Diggs, Kels. I'll just let you guys know the rookies here. We don't really care about Greg Zuerlein, I don't think. Get those guesses in. We got Justin Jefferson insert. We got Basham, rookie. Fuller. All right, Michigan, Notre Dame. There we go. North Dakota State. There we go. You want Trey Lance. Good. Kamara, Claypool. Not much in this value pack here, guys. Brandon Knox, Devonta Smith rookie. So there's a score, Devonta Smith. Because I really do like the design of these this year. They're pretty cool. Elijah Mitchell. Cooper Kupp and some vet. All right, perfect. All right, let's get this blaster opened here. And we'll see who we can get the giveaway to. Okay, if you do get the giveaway, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. If we do... For the winners, you can DM me on Twitter, okay, or you can or you just put in the comments your info and I'll get it to you, okay? All right, try to do this quick, guys, so we don't go too far over here. All right, here we go. Let's get them going here. Should probably pre-open these if I knew it was against the clock. You guys did a good job hanging out. All right, for the sake of time, I will just look for the auto just so we can get our winner here. Pretty cool cards this year. You know, the season ticket cards, they are neat. Okay, that's just a base card, but they don't have much value. The contenders, in terms of their base, it's all about the autos when it comes to contenders, and most of these are sticker autos, so that's why they're not as desired. But you can still get a good shot at a nice – I think it's just cool you get an auto in every blaster. That's a nice little perk. All right. No auto on that one. All right, I think it's right here. All right, this is going to be a tough one. I don't think anybody's going to get this one. All right, so I'm going to make sure nobody's guessed this college first. Okay. Nobody's guessed this college, so I'm going to see if I can get somebody to guess it quickly here. It's a very small school. All right, I'll give a big, quick one, an easy one. I will say Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's the hint. All right, on my feed, Eloy the Goat Flores got it first. Buffalo was my auto. Fortunately, that's not going to be it's a Malcolm Kuntz, DN from Buffalo. Okay. Hometown. There you go, Tom. That's cool. All right. Gonzaga. Yeah, so Guys, thanks for hanging out. I really appreciate it. Again, just check out my show whenever you can. It's going to be on Bench Clear and also through the podcast stream. And also, I just got a baseball article out on Breaker Culture Top 5 MLB buys, so check that out as well. I'll double check here, but on my feed, I'm seeing Eloy the Goat Flores as the first person to get me Buffalo. So I will confirm that. But otherwise, I appreciate you guys hanging out. Hope you guys have a great rest of the day and enjoying the Hobby Palooza with Bench Clear Media. Like you did get it. Awesome, guys. Really appreciate it. Take care.